Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road. By the daylight.
Good morning, you're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Golf cart day.
Woo! Yeah. Mike the Great's at the command center doing his thing. But when you left, Max, your dog, was a little upset.
Poor guy.
He's got this thing where he thinks every time the golf cart leaves the driveway, he should be in it.
Yes, and I agree with him.
Yes.
So I don't understand where he is.
Well, maybe one morning I'll bring him here to the show and he can sit next to Mike.
Heck yeah.
He's the show mascot anyway. He
needs to
be here.
Facebook Live, people will be like, look how cute he is. Yes. I don't understand why he's not here. I really don't.
Oh, well, I'll take your complaint in writing to him.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our sponsor, Caligaz Printing. For over 25 years, Caligaz has been Mobile's leading full-service commercial and digital printer. For great holiday ideas, visit Caligaz's T-shirt and Fins Apparel at finsapparel.com. That's P-H-I-N-S apparel.com. We always look forward to Friday mornings when the media czar, Tom McDonald, comes on. Everyone, it seems, their household names, Peyton and Eli Manning, the Manning family is just incredible with the dad and the sons all being quarterbacks. So, but now that they're retired from active playing football, but they're still involved in football broadcast, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's funny, this all started, it seems to me, years ago. There was a, ESPN runs these commercials for their flagship news program, SportsCenter, which has been on for decades.
Oh, yeah.
And the SportsCenter commercials are always very creative because what they do is they film sort of life behind the scenes at ESPN, and they involve school mascots and former players and all that. And it's always some brilliant, short little life in the office skit, as if, you know, the premise being that these guys actually, all the athletes and mascots work at ESPN in the office when they're not playing.
Right.
And they're just clever as anything, and they always have been. But even amongst those, there are certain ones that stand out as genius. And years ago, they did one where some of the ESPN news personalities were taking the Manning family on a tour behind the scenes of how it all works. Just a very boring sort of like, here's where we do this, here's the production, this and that. And it's Archie Manning and his wife, and Peyton, his sons Peyton and Eli, walking behind him, and Peyton and Eli are just screwing around with each other the whole time, like sticking a wet finger in their ear and kicking each other and shoving. And the classic moment is when Archie suddenly stops and turns around and just glares at his sons, who look very sheepish. And then they continue to walk. Everybody loves that spot, and it captures kind of the essence of the Manning family, which is it's a very tight-knit family. All these guys are quarterbacks, and yet they have this sense of humor and playfulness and ribbing of each other that just comes off so naturally. And ever since that commercial aired, you thought, you know, these guys really have something. And then a few years after that, Peyton Manning was the host of Saturday Night Live. And there is a classic filmed sketch in that episode where Peyton Manning is outdoors in a park with a bunch of little kids who are having like a youth league football game, flag football game. And Peyton is, he's the coach and the quarterback of one of the teams. And, you know, Peyton has this reputation of being just the nicest guy in the world. And in the sketch, he's just yelling at the kids. He's throwing the ball so hard at him and knocks him down and makes him cry. He yells at him more. And it's just, it's a classic sketch. So Peyton really has demonstrated this ability to have just this comedic timing and acting ability. So fast forward again, Peyton retires from football. And after he retires, ESPN gives him a show on ESPN Plus, which is their paid sort of streaming service, mm-hmm. called Peyton's Places, where he it's sort of a little series where he goes to all these locations that are important in the history of professional football and interviews people, talks to them, spends a day with them. And it's just, it's not scripted. It's just sort of his natural charm. Like, for example, one episode, he went to the factory where they actually make the footballs.
Wow.
And he tries his hand at making footballs, and of course he can't do it. He makes self-deprecating jokes and all this. And it's just a great little series. And it seemed like, now I know this is a lot of background, but this all enhances the experience that's going on now that I'm going to tell you about. His brother Eli continued to play longer than Peyton did for the New York Giants. And people got the sense, I think, whether it's fair or not, that Eli wasn't quite as clever and funny and charming as Peyton. And so when I heard it announced that they were going to give him a series on ESPN Plus called Eli's Places, I thought, well, this is not going to be as good as the Peyton Manning thing. So I watched a couple episodes of Eli's Places, and he's every bit as funny and every bit as clever as Peyton.
Mm.
And it's hilarious in its own right. So all that is a lead up to this experiment that ESPN is trying, where on Monday nights, you know, Monday night football has been an institution in America for decades.
Right.
But the last few years has been struggling because it's been on ESPN and they've been rotating through different announcing crews, trying to find a crew that can really capture the magic of Monday Night Football. And they've been having trouble finding this mix, popping different guys in and out. And so this year they've got a regular crew doing the regular broadcast on the flagship ESPN channel, but they decided on ESPN2 to have an alternate broadcast of Monday Night Football where it's Peyton and Eli Manning commenting on the game. But not in any way the traditional broadcast. This is entirely different. So they've got Peyton is at his house, presumably in his basement. Eli is at his house, presumably in his basement or family room. And they're basically, when you look at your screen, you see the game in the big part of the screen on the right, but in a little strip on the left, it looks like kind of like a Zoom call.
Right.
You've got Peyton in one box, you've got Eli in another box, and then they'll have a guest on, a different guest, every quarter of the game. So they have four guests during the game, and it's former quarterback or a current quarterback or a coach, or like they had LeBron James from basketball, or, you know, just different people in that box that they switch through each quarter. And it's the best way I can describe it is they're not announcing the game. They're not describing the action on the field like a play-by-play person and a color commentator. They are commenting on the game as if they were sitting, you were sitting in their family room with them watching a ball game on TV.
Wow.
So they comment on the game like a fan would. But then they'll say something like, well, you know, that reminds me of a time when I was playing at this such and such, you know, in this game. And they'll tell some zany story from their own careers and just get completely off the topic of the game that they're watching. And that's exactly what happens when you sit around with family and friends watching football, right? Mm-hmm. You got one eye on the game, but then you're having these other conversations during it, just having a good, relaxed time. And I mean, it's funny, it's groundbreaking and innovative for broadcasting, but it's precisely what everybody does at home. And it is absolutely, thoroughly, and entirely entertaining.
Okay, but, what are the ratings in comparison to ESPN, the regular broadcast that's doing the traditional way of calling the game and giving the color?
So the I don't know the exact numbers, and I'm not sure what the regular Monday night numbers have been this season. Monday night has not been doing well in the last few years, but this is what I do know, that the first week of Monday Night Football where they tried this, it was the highest rated alternate broadcast of a sporting event in history. Now, that history is not that long. You know, like when you watch the national championship game, for example, they've had a thing called the coach's room where there's an alternate broadcast where you can watch coaches talk about it, or like the Spanish language broadcast, or there's other alternate broadcasts. So this was the highest rated of one of those that's ever been. And the buzz was so good after the first week, the audience doubled the second week, and then it shot up again the third week.
Wow.
So the buzz about this has been amazing, but what's frustrating is just when all the positive buzz is out there and everybody's talking about it, how great this is, week four, they weren't on. Last week, they weren't on. And it's because the contract they signed with ESPN stipulated that they would not do this every week. There's 17 regular season weeks, and they signed a contract agreeing to do this for 10 of them. So they're taking selected weeks off, and they won't be back on again until something like October 26th. So it's a little bit frustrating, but, you know, these guys are so popular, and they don't need the money. So, you know, if they want to just do it certain games, they have the power to make that demand.
Wow.
So it's very unconventional.
Man. And have you been watching it?
Yeah, I've watched each one that's happened. Now, here's the thing. I'm a football fan. I love to watch football. But Monday night, I would watch depending on who's playing. You know, oftentimes I would not watch Monday night. But with these guys, I tuned in regardless of who was playing. Like, that was not the point at all. I was just so entertained by them. And part of the charm is they're brothers, and so they are at their best when they are taking shots at each other. Mm-hmm. Just, like, I'll give you an example of a joke they would tell. Like, Peyton was trying to make a point about football, and as a quarterback, so he stood up and did a little demonstration, and he tried to put a Baltimore Ravens helmet on his head to demonstrate what he was talking about, but the helmet would not fit on his head. It was too small. And because Peyton has a big head. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just has a large head. And so for the rest of the game, Eli kept making jokes about the size of Peyton's head. And so they had a guest come on, and I forget who the guest was, but Eli's first question to the guest was, let me ask you something. So if you had a choice between $10,000 or Peyton's helmet filled with quarters, which one would you take? And it took me a minute to figure out the joke, but then I got it, and I just roared. It was hilarious. And Peyton just sits there and takes it, and at one point Peyton raises his arm and starts making a big gesture about football, and you see that he has a giant armpit stain under one armpit and not the other.
Right.
So then Eli just took that and ran with it. Like,
oh my lord,
Peyton, what is going on? Do you need to turn the air conditioning on in there? This is it. Your shirt is. I mean, and it's just hysterical. It is so much fun. And the thing is, they're not taking the game too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They're having fun with it. And then when they do talk about the game, they interject real opinions and not sort of cookie cutter broadcaster cliched remarks that you hear all the time.
Hmm.
It's just refreshing and fun.
Now, would it be frustrating to someone who is so accustomed to the traditional way of calling the game, adding a little color commentary, and that's what you're accustomed to?
I mean, maybe. It can be. You can find yourself at times when you're watching it, just watching the brothers talk with their guests, and you realize you're not even paying attention to the game as much anymore. But that happened the first week, but then by week two and three, I sort of grooved into watching the game while listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, It might bother some people, but I everything I've read, everybody I've talked to who's seen it has thought, wow, this thing is really great. We really enjoy this. And I wouldn't be surprised if it got to the point where their ratings numbers surpassed the traditional broadcast.
That would just be so embarrassing. Come on.
Yeah. And there's a push now. There's a social media push. You know, their alma maters, Ole Miss and Tennessee, are going to play. Mm-hmm. And there's a push to ESPN to get them to do that game so they can just rip on each other about their alma maters while they play. I think that would be tremendous fun if they did that.
That is funny. And I think what makes it charming and comfortable is everyone can relate to sitting around with your brother bashing about football as the game's on, and particularly bashing your sibling, you know, in a funny way.
So. Yeah, but we got to get them in the same room because they can't punch each other when they're on Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the thing.
That's not in their contract, though.
Oh, yes. That would be hilarious if they got into it. Because you know, Tom, that happens, right?
Oh, sure. There's a great moment where their dad was on with Eli in Eli's house, and they had just had LeBron James on, and they showed a clip of LeBron playing high school football and catching a pass. Now, the pass wasn't very good, so Peyton and Eli both start ripping on LeBron's high school quarterback, going, really, that's the best clip? That's the best clip of that guy? He was terrible. And after LeBron was gone, their dad, Archie, came on and said, you guys can't take shots at LeBron's high school quarterback like that. He's still somewhere minding his own business, and you're on TV taking shots at this poor guy. You can't do that. So they apologized. It was hilarious.
Sorry, Dad. Man, that does sound fun. All right, but the only way that we can watch this is we've got to have ESPN, right?
Yeah, you got to have ESPN2. On your cable or satellite system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Yep. Yeah.
How many ESPNs are there?
Oh, I think like 17.
De ocho.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's probably about half a dozen, no joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good stuff. And a lighthearted Friday football to get us going this week. Tom McDonald, we will talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Oh, joining the show next, Lisa Fixler and Love Your Motherboard. Is this Catholics and skateboards?
Yeah.
All right.
And snowboards.
And snowboards.
Yeah. Snowboards, too.
It's all the boards involved.
There you go.
We're going to find out what it is on L.A. Catholic Morning next.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's at the Command Center, producing like a boss over there. We have with us on the line Lisa Fixler, who started Love Your Motherboard some years ago because she was a little incensed at the average decorations on skateboards. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So your son and his friend came over, they were skating, doing their thing, they came in, they put their boards up, and you were like, what on earth is in my house?
That is really exactly what happened.
Talk to us about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, it was about 6 years ago, and yeah, they were both into skating, and, you know, we're next door neighbors, so we looked at these decks and we're just like, oh, no. My cute little 8-year-old cannot be riding around town on that board. So we, you know, took a trip to the mall, tried to find something else, and it was even worse at the mall. It was it blew our mind. There was no options.
Man.
I mean, everything was just so blatantly, like, dark and bad. And, yeah, so, you know, I had started a company about a decade ago where we work with antique holy cards.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my husband and I'm like, you know, let's just start a company where we can put some kind of beautiful, cool Catholic art on these boards, you know, skateboards, snowboards. And Yes, thus Motherboards was born.
See, now that's just not the normal course of action, because I'm sure you weren't the first mom to go, all right, this is terrible. Either we just have to kind of lay down and go, all right, these are kind of, you know, terrible, but my kid loves to skate, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, did you first try to, like, go online and see if there was anything that you could do there?
Well, not really. No, we went to the mall, and, you know, we're here in Denver, and we have all the top skate stores in the mall, and there was just nothing. You know, there was a Christian brand out there that had some things, but it was still, it wasn't what we were looking for. Mm-hmm. We were looking for just something that was just, you know, appropriate for an 8-year-old, and there wasn't anything. So when we decided to start the company, we're like, okay, well, we've got to figure out how we can manufacture it. We kind of went back to the steps of when we started our first company, Full of Grace USA, and just started researching how we could get them made, what we had to do to put them together. I mean, it was a huge learning experience because, right, you know, I didn't grow up as a skateboarder. Mm-hmm. But it's been really, you know, it's just like all glory to God, because it seems like whenever we've needed help with any of our companies and we pray about it, you know, he sends a solution. Amen. So it's been remarkable. I mean, ever since we started this, we've had great help from priests and friars, Friar Gabriel Cortez.
How'd you get him connected with this? Because I've even seen videos of Brother Gabriel skating. So how'd you get him on board? No pun intended.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic conference and Father Calloway was there speaking, and Father Calloway came over and looked at our skateboards and he's like, these are amazing. Then he came back and he's like, you have to meet my good friend, Friar Gabriel. He's this most incredible skater. And he pulled up all of his videos. And so within a half an hour, you know, I had his phone number. I called him, and he's just been so supportive. He, like, really, he's kind of helps me run the company. But we used his advice as far as, okay, what parts do we need to build the most amazing skateboards out there? And it's just, it's been a great partnership. You know, we actually go on the road and we'll go to like NCYC and SEEK, and we'll bring his half pipe and his ramps. And, you know, he interacts with kids there and skates, and in his habit, you know, it's amazing. You should check him out on YouTube if you haven't seen the videos, because he's just an incredible skater.
I have. Yeah. I mean, he really is incredible in the tricks that he does. But I'm so glad, though, if you don't mind me saying, Lisa, because too often you'll get someone that'll say, oh, let's do this, and then they won't make a high-quality board. You know, it'll be beautiful. You know, they'll put Our Lady of Guadalupe on there, something really nice. That's great, but if you don't have the right trucks on there, it's like, oh, my Lord. No one is going to want to buy something like that. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Oh, absolutely, and that's totally true. And, you know, that's kind of how it is, especially if you're going to focus on getting something manufactured here in the U.S., which is what we completely focus on. You have to pay for the quality parts. So, you know, our stuff, it's a little more expensive, but it is completely unique. And the art, I mean, it's really all about the art. And we've worked really hard with some amazing artists to just make it as beautiful as possible and as true to the Catholic faith as we can. So you look at our numerous designs and they're all extremely, extremely Catholic. And there's something that, you know, a kid can take to a skate park and not necessarily have to overtly, you know, talk about the faith, but, you know, someone comes up to them and asks about, you know, what is that graphic on your board? What does that mean? It can start a conversation about the faith. And a lot of those kids at the skate park or snowboarding, you know, they're not catechized. They have no idea. But they're affected by beauty. Mm. And that's what's really unique about our products, is the beauty kind of stops you in your tracks and makes you, you know, makes you kind of question it. What does that mean? So
The artwork is impressive. Just going through the array of the artwork and the different things you offer.
What's the website, Ellen?
It is loveyourmotherboard.com.
Yes, and, thanks, Ellen. Great.
And it's just, I mean, I'm not into skateboarding. So I joked with Mike out at the start of the segment I was going to ride my skateboard to work next. But
yeah. I want to see that.
I know. But the artwork for our listeners, you have to go look at the site because it is impressive graphically, yet it is something that's going to appeal to that demographic. It's not something like your grandmother's skateboard, like she would put a little something on. No, this is impressive looking graphics that are going to appeal to the demographic as well. And I see you have apparel on there, snowboard, and it looks like coming soon you're going to get into water sports too?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, it's been kind of an exciting last couple weeks. Last week we picked up our second snowboard, which we have Never Summer here in Denver manufacture. It's a St. Michael design. It's just incredible. So we just got those last week, and we are working on two different we have two artists we're working with for surfboards. So that's a brand new product line for us, but we've been working on it for over a year. So we're hoping, we have confirmation that hopefully we'll get the first art for the first board on Friday. So yeah, exciting things to come. We're definitely planning on, we're working with two artists, Elizabeth Zelasco's here in Denver, and she's working on a Stella Maris design. And then we're working with an artist out of Austin, Federico Archuleta, who's just a really well-known he's an artist, and he's done huge murals all over Austin, and he has this amazing Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we're lucky enough that he's going to let us use that for our surfboards as well. So yeah, there's exciting things happening, and just yesterday we had a huge shipment of decks, over 300 decks arrived just in time for Christmas, so that'll carry us through the next few months. But yeah, my office is, I can't even get in there. It's huge boxes of skateboards.
I'd also tell our listeners, not only just skateboards, so maybe your kid's not into skateboard, but they've got other apparel that appeals to that demographic that it's Catholic and it's trendy, but Catholic, authentically Catholic. You got rosary, you got mass, you've got posters and stickers and all kinds of stuff like that. So if you're looking for something for a child, a young adult, somebody in that demographic, loveyourmotherboard.com.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, we have a lot of really loyal social media followers, a lot of young adults who are very, very passionate about the brand, and we appreciate that. We're so blessed and so appreciative of everything that's been happening with this company, and we appreciate you guys reaching out to us and letting us talk to you today about the brand.
Well, there's a lot that I like about this, because too often, Lisa, like I alluded to earlier, you'll get individuals that will do things and they kind of do it halfway. And I get it, because, you know, for our listeners, so you don't have sticker shock. I mean, these boards are $180 when you're fully set up and ready to go. Now that will come out of the box and your child will get on and ride. Mm-hmm. And it's.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when you compare that price to actually what you would pay in a mall store, it's very comparable. Mm-hmm. So just so people realize, if you're going to go to that expense of getting a full blown board, nice set of trucks, great wheels, bearings, that's you're going to be looking at that kind of a investment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all we can really offer is, you know, our art. So I'd recommend people go to the mall, check out what's there, and see if there's something that makes sense for their child. But it's, for me as a parent, it was not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
And you guys, you know, if your listeners go to the mall and check it out, they'll see. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we're just happy that, you know, we can offer an alternative.
Oh, it very much so. And in fact, I was going to say, because I know these prices. You know, I've got kids that have been longboarding for a while, and known kids that will spend far more than this. I mean, high speed boards are into the thousands of dollars, just to let our listeners know. I mean, that's what kind of investment we're talking about. But I'm going through and I'm looking now. I see a lot of these that are sold out. Is that the case, Lisa?
Well, that was the case until we got that shipment yesterday. But, you know, we will be updating all of that inventory basically as soon as I get into work. So, yeah, everything that's showing sold out, that's part of that delivery of 300 decks yesterday. So check with the website. What we'll do first is update all of the deck inventory, and then starting next week, we'll take the decks and start building them into completes because we do all of that at our shop here in Denver.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love your spiritual. Yeah, so, I love your spiritual warfare rosaries. I just have to say that. I'm looking at those. Just
you know, thank you. And those are actually manufactured by a man in Louisiana, and he's fabulous. So we're just blessed that things that we can't manufacture, we try to find a source for it here in the U.S. And there are so many great small Catholic businesses. And, you know, if we have to add in something like that, you know, a rosary or a chaplet or, or whatever, we try to source somebody here in the States that's doing something like that with just exceptional quality. And that's what Huey's rosaries are. They're incredible. And, you know, when you feel them, and there's one in particular called the Weapon, but it really is. I mean, it's the Weapon.
It's solid. Theo,
but
you
it's
would
also
like that,
so
Todd.
Heavy. It's truly a weapon. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's well. I didn't even realize. Now I'm diving deeper into your website. So for our listeners, go to loveyourmotherboard.com. And then on the top of the page, you can go down and go under miscellaneous, and there's even temporary tattoos. There's all sorts of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's tattoos, decals. We manufacture a lot of those products. We also have a full line of notebooks, journals, all kinds of holy cards, litany cards. There's a lot of things. I mean, when we started our first company, Full of Grace USA, that's really what we focused on. We focused on antique holy card art and how to make that kind of new and beautiful for a generation that wasn't really familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these antique holy card images are, you know, from the 1800s, early 1900s. So that's kind of what started it all, was that antique holy card art. And it just sort of led into this motherboards thing. But it's, you know, it's been a blessing. It's been 10 years of just really trusting and just God blessing our efforts. So anybody who considers, oh, I'd really like to do this, I'd like to do something that expresses my faith, and you think, well, I don't know how to do that, just pray about it and trust that God will help you to get it accomplished, because that's 100% what happened with us here.
So true. Lisa Fixler, love your items at the store. It's not your grandmother's religious items store. Go check it out. Loveyourmotherboard.com. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks much. God bless, guys.
Bye.
You too.
Coming up next, Jim Pachinski talks about his book, The Doubleday Code.
Nice. That is perfect. Classic. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's producing like a boss over there. Ripster's pushing buttons, doing his thing. In studio, we have Jim Pachinski to talk about his latest book, The Double Day Code, put out by our Sunday Visitor Press, How to Become a Catholic Major Leaguer. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Todd.
Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I the first time I met you, I mean, you are a person where you can tell this guy must have been involved in some sort of professional sport. I mean, you've got that size and that mannerism about you, even just the way you walk. Yeah. So when I found out that you had played professional baseball, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
No, but I actually didn't play professional baseball.
What?
I played football in college. That paid for my tuition and books.
There you go.
But my first love was always baseball, and I played for 6 or 7 years in a league with former minor leaguers and college kids in the summertime.
That's where I got it confused.
And that's what happened, yes.
There you go. But the Doubleday Code, first of all, the name, I mean, we're all familiar with Abner Doubleday, right?
Abner Doubleday is the Civil War general, and he's generally accredited as the founder of baseball.
Okay.
That's a complete fallacy.
Wait.
It has an element.
We all grew up on that myth then.
It has an element of mystery to the game, just like we have the mysteries of Catholicism and scripture scholars debate on who wrote certain books. Mm-hmm. But Admiral Doubleday did attend school in Cooperstown.
Okay.
But at the first game, allegedly in 1839, he was a student at West Point.
Oh, so he wasn't there.
So he became a military officer. And in the artillery, no less. He was stationed on Fort Sumter and did order the first shot against the Union in the Civil War.
Wow.
So he did have everything to do with the first shot of the Civil War, nothing to do with the first pitch of the game of baseball.
But baseball's been around since the 1800s, right?
Well, they say the first game was 1839 and 40, and yes, you had the leagues beginning, and especially in the New England and New York area in the 1850s and 60s, and then, of course, the National League convened and started operations in 1873.
And just growing up, it's such a part of the American culture, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. I mean, that's everybody. We kind of live and breathe baseball, don't we?
It's the quintessential American game that came out of the Industrial Revolution with the technology and the growth and the strategy and the speeds. It all adds up. It's really American from the get-go.
All right. So then how'd you come up with the title, the Doubleday Code?
Well, I figured Doubleday is shrouded in mystery of the origins of the game. And that's the perfect lead in to explain the mysteries of fate that are shown to be evident in throughout the entire game, especially as you sit down. We don't say we watch a game of baseball, but we take in a game. Mm-hmm. So when you take in a game, you could see the hand of God in all aspects of it. Mm. Let me give you a few examples.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We sit down in a cathedral, much like we do in a church. And there on the field, we have the elevated ground, which is the infield, the sanctuary where the action takes place. Much like in the church where we have the elevated part where the drama of the mass unfolds. And so in the cathedral, we look down upon the field. The object is to get home, reminiscent of our heavenly home.
Nice.
To do that, you need to first succeed in reaching first, then second, then third. That's faith, hope, and charity, without which you can't advance to home. In the outfield, we have one field, three distinct positions. And that teaches us the Trinity, one God, three persons. There are nine positions on the field, and according to Scripture, we have nine choirs of angels. So we have the same number of positions on the team as God has on his heavenly team with his heavenly messengers. There's nine innings. Well, nine innings evokes for us the 9 days that the Blessed Mother and the apostles prayed before the coming of the Pentecost. It is the length of a novena. The base coaches guide us along the paths of virtue, just like they advance runners along first, second, and third, faith, hope, and charity.
Wow.
And so we have all of these illustrations, all of these elements of the game that just point to the divine.
See, now I feel terrible, Jim, because growing up in the Boston area, going to Fenway Park, eating a hot dog, I didn't see any of this that you're talking about.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, so that the student of baseball could come to appreciate the fine points of the game, but also realize that our destiny is not runs, hits, and errors. Our destiny is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And to let everything that we see in front of us lead us to see God's providence. We have to learn to look at everything through the eyes of God, because that's the way Jesus taught us. He used the mustard seed. He used the millstone. He used the foundation. He used the wineskin. All of the elements of nature were proofs of God's love for us. And it's no different with the sport of baseball. And if anybody would prefer to prove that football or soccer is God's divine game, great. Let's have the discussion.
I like to see the up on a debate stage. We got the person that thinks baseball's God's game, and then the other one that says no, football is. So that is interesting. I think too, people can relate to sports maybe in a way that faith has not been able to touch them. So just to contemplate some of these things and just think about it in a broader, more beautiful aspect is, you know, how some people are going to get in their faith life enriched. So I think it's very good. Mm-hmm. You talk about in chapter 9 about the most exciting play in sacred scripture. What is that?
Well, that occurs in chapter 9, which is the Hall of Fame. And I guess the correlation in the kingdom is death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Mm-hmm. So when our careers close, every at-bat, every pitch, every error is recorded. And you could look and see the career and what it merits. Well, we're going to be subject to that judgment also. But when you look at the Hall of Fame, I have given three stories of the one person who didn't make the Hall of Fame, which is Pete Rose. And Pete Rose didn't make it because of one transgression of gambling. But there are two others, Juan Marichal, who had a stellar career, but he was excluded on the first two votes because of an ugly incident where he hit John Roseboro in the head and was deemed unworthy of that until he reconciled with John Roseboro. And then there's Bill Mazeroski. Bill Mazeroski hit probably the most famous home run in World Series history in 1960. In the seventh game in the ninth inning, a second baseman with a mediocre batting average steps to the plate against Bill Terry, and he ends the World Series in dramatic fashion on a home run over the left field wall over Yogi Berra's head. Mm-hmm. And so we have one of the most iconic and exciting plays in the game of baseball. So translate that to the kingdom. Imagine, and I usually ask folks, what is the most exciting play in baseball? And I'll get two answers. It's either the triple play or stealing home. And I said, okay, imagine if you could steal home in the World Series to win a game. Imagine you could steal home in the ninth inning to win a game. Or how about stealing home in the seventh game of the World Series with two outs in the ninth inning? That's what the good thief did. Mm. He stole home in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Mm. I think it's the most exciting play in Scripture that we have right from the cross. This one who led a dissolute life comes to see the divinity of Christ, appeals to his mercy, and wins the championship.
That's beautiful.
Death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
I never thought about baseball like this before.
So do you have to be a baseball fan to enjoy this book?
No, I don't think you have to be a baseball fan. All you need to do is an appreciation for what God has done in divine providence. The book is set up so that you could read each chapter, and there's nine, of course. Each one you could read standalone. It espouses the mysteries of the faith through baseball stories. And at the end of each chapter, there's four questions for reflection. Mm-hmm. I call this the intentional walk. The four balls get you the first base, which is faith. Uh-huh. So the four balls in baseball actually represent the four gospels.
Nice.
Because that's what you need to acquire the faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was always fascinated by the game. My brother was an all-star, so I went to a lot of baseball games. And mm-hmm. it was just something where I never associated the faith elements to it. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk about the intentional walk, I remember when my brother was intentionally walked during a very important game because he had a very high average of getting on base and just hitting little singles, you know, just getting it out there. And I was so proud that they were walking intentionally my brother. When I watched that, Jim, I was like, man, that means he's really good. Like, they don't want him to bat because he's that good. But I never put the faith element together with it.
Well, we want to be the kind of people that when we get out of bed in the morning, the devil who's hurling, you know, the pitches at us to try to strike us out with the world and the flesh and the devil says, dang, he's up, you know.
Nice.
And maybe we get the intentional walk and our Lord takes us to first and he takes us to second, he takes us to third, which is charity, on the way home. So yeah, it's the base paths of holiness for sure.
So tonight's game six of the World Series. I think it's appropriate you're in here during World Series time. Definitely. Is there any analogies in that?
Well, you know, the League Championship Series and the World Series is played over seven games. Mm-hmm. And in the Catholic Church, we have the octave of Easter and the octave of Christmas. So when we look at the high holy days of the church, we see it spread over a week. When we look at the high holy days of baseball, we see it spread over a week also. And so we have sort of a version of the octave in baseball that we do. Uh-huh. We're closing the liturgical year now with the Feast of All Souls today, and then November is the month in which the church calls to us, you know, our eternal destiny with Christ the King as we culminate the church year. And so here we culminate the baseball season, and I think the two coincide beautifully to bring us to an understanding of death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And we only have one life to live, and our life is more serious, and it's not a game. As much as we love baseball, we really need to grow in holiness. If we understand the game of baseball, we need to understand the Catholic faith even more, and we need to drive runners home. We need to bring souls to heaven.
Amen.
That's the point.
Amen. Because we're rounding third.
All right.
It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. We're rounding third, baby.
The book is The Doubleday Code, and it's by Jim Pachinski.
Pachinski.
I got it.
How to Become a Catholic Major Leaguer, put out by our Sunday Visitor Press. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Spectrum Collision, family-owned Christian business that believes in the values of hard work and doing things right the first time. Spectrum Collision, proud to be the premier automotive and collision shop in Mobile for over 20 years. Call them at 251-342-0005 and like them on Facebook. Happy Thanksgiving!
God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Don't forget to call your mama.